Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. This is your brother, Elohim, coming to you live and in living color out of Philadelphia. My voice is a little scraggly, but I'm going to try to, I'm going to try to bring you this information as best as possible, okay? We're talking about the Bible 2.0, code book, religious book or cult book? Let's talk about it. Now, the cult book is a book that will tell you things so that you'll have a better life. What is a better life? You know, first of all, let me do a little assertion here. As I walk the path of Ben Addison Girl, I will keep my mind focused on what you saw. By doing this, I'll be walking the path of the light and I'll step where I want, okay? Remember, is that what I want? What do you want? What do I want? Okay? You got to figure out what you want first as you sojourn in on the planet. Okay. Well, the topic for today is we're focusing on the Bible because our ancestors left us information to decode the information that was left to us by our ancestors. That's something to think about. They left us a code book to decode the information that was left by our ancestors. Okay? Now, that's something to think about. All right? So let's get right into it. Let's not waste a whole lot of time. Let's get right into it. We've only got an hour here. So, excuse me. As if I can make it about an hour with my voice like this, you know? I've been, I overworked my vocal cords and they kind of shut down. You know, that's what's going on right now. Because I'm trying to get this album done. And I've been doing a lot of singing because I write music and stuff like that there. You know, if you've been to, on YouTube, Elohim Christ 10 tracks, Christ has come or Jesus is coming. 911 Jesus Emergency, you'll be able to get my tracks and listen to the music, okay? That's what I do. Also, we're going to be coming out with a meditation CD. So I want you to get, you know, get your hands on that and deal with that. You know, once we get that set up. The CD's already done. I just have to get it on the market, which is I'll be getting it on the market soon, okay? Then we have a CD on how to meditate and why meditation is so important. And how to meditate. Because a lot of us don't know how to meditate, okay? Now, topic for today. If we look at the Bible, right, as a what they call the religious book, but they're not teaching religion. We're dealing with occults. That's what we're dealing with, not religion. Religion is realigning yourself with source energy. We're gonna break it down. We're gonna wake you up. And some of us would rather fight like crazy than to wake up. You know how it is when you're in REM sleep. Excuse me. You know how it is when you're in REM sleep, okay? And you and you have a lot of, you know, I mean, you really sleep real good. And somebody comes to wake you up, man, you don't want to get up. Oh, man, leave me alone. I'm sleeping so good. And that's what you're doing. You're sleeping so good, you know? Now, we're dealing with Elohim five tribes. Now, what are the five tribes? Black, brown, red, yellow, white. We're given to you in the color because that seems to be where you're living at right now. But that physical body, say it very slowly so you can hear what I'm saying. That physical body does not determine who you are. So these scientists, these baby scientists, are focusing on the physical, everything on the physical. And until they begin focusing on that incorporeal energy, spiritual, soul, whatever you want to call it, they're not going to begin to understand how to manipulate dark matter. See what I'm saying? Because they function on the same frequency. See what I'm saying? So by dealing with the incorporeal energy that's in us, they'll be able to understand dark matter, which will give them a better time frame when they're measuring rocks and stuff like that. There, they don't have to find a little insect inside the carbon dated insect to find out how old the rock is. They don't have to do that. They can find how old the rock is by dealing with the by dealing with the flow of the dark matter through the rock. How long? How much? How much does dark matter have wear and tear on objects? Although it float, the dark matter flows through everything on the planet. You see what I'm saying? So there's a lot that they have to address. But the real you is not your slave. See, this physical body is what we call a slave. And you are the master of the slave. This slave will do whatever you want it to do, okay? Don't matter what it is. It will do, even to the point of destroying itself, this slave will do whatever you want it to do, okay? So we have to acknowledge that. And that being a basis for what we're talking about, we begin decoding the Bible with Psalm 82. That helps you decode the Bible, all right? Now, I want to go out of, get out of Genesis into Leviticus, but based on what's coming back to me, okay, we don't seem to be ready for Leviticus yet, you know? I mean, that's just how the priest was getting paid. That's how the priest was getting paid, how they broke that money. I'm just saying, you know? Because the money was the livestock. They didn't have, they wasn't using gold and all that stuff. They were using livestock. Chicken, turtle doves. That's how they was getting paid, you know? And and the occult practices, when you're bringing something for somebody and worshiping something outside of yourself, when you're glorifying something outside of who you really are, that's cultic, okay? And through your, through the cult, they're able to get the people to bring offerings and money to God. Now, they don't bring cattle and sheep and stuff no more. They bring dollars, credit cards. You know, that's what they're bringing in. But now you, if you go to Leviticus, I'm not going to talk too much on Leviticus because you're not, I don't think you're ready for Leviticus yet. You ain't got out of Genesis yet. But if you break down the cost of the burnt offering that they were bringing in to the Levites, okay, then you'll see in terms of how much money they were giving. Even when the Levites did something, they did, they their punishment was to pay it off. You know, we deal with the cost of a bull, and that's what they had to pay. May have to pay a bull or something there, you know. But dealing with the cost of a bull, that was very expensive for the sin that they committed. If they were coming from, they just bought their way out of it, you know. They're dealing with the priests, not most of the people. We're dealing with the people who were running, you can't say church. You can't say synagogue because they didn't really call it synagogue back then. Nah. Well, who was running the tribe? Who was in charge of the tribe, okay? Okay, so, excuse me, I'm going to be doing this a lot because my throat's kind of screwed up, but I can't be off the radio because the information that we're disseminating is very important. If the five tribes are going to wake up and begin doing what they're supposed to do, all right? This is the wake-up call, okay? Elohim's coming to bring the wake-up call, okay? What is Elohim? Elohim is the God within. The incorporeal energy that lives inside of you. Every man, woman, and child on this planet is Elohim. That's a plural. We're all Elohim. Now, I'm going to go here just because we're here. No modern man is using some of the language from the theory, I'm going to say that word real strong, from the theory of evolution. When they say theory, that means it's not a fact. That's something that somebody made up, okay, based on some information that they found, all right, but they can't prove the information that they found, so they're calling it a theory. The theory of evolution. Just remember, that's what they're saying. And you got people running around here defending evolutionary theory that is based on fact, but it's not. Okay, it's basically based on racism. So, but we're gonna get into that. That's not what we're doing right now, because cultism is based, cultism is racism, all that is in the cult. Okay, we'll break that down a little later on. But right now, we're talking about what can you do to not be broke. That takes us in the story of Joseph, you know what I'm saying, who became the vicegerent of Kemet, or what you call Egypt. They got a different name for Kemet. Kemet knew, and well, anyway. But he became the vicegerent of Kemet. All right, now let's look at it as a code. We can go through the story, okay? I can occult you with the story. Now, the difference between occult and a code. Let's deal with that, okay? The occult is the journey, all right, of a person's life, and you get locked on the journey rather than the end result of the journey, all right? Now, the end result of the journey brings you into the code, which is good for everybody, all right? Now, everybody's not going to go through what Joseph went through, per se. I'm saying per, because in this dog-eat-dog culture that we're functioning in now, the people are trying to bring it into a reworking soul culture, but so far it's not happening. So far that's not happening, okay? Excuse me. So, yeah, so far that's not happening, but we're functioning under the dog-eat-dog culture. You know what I mean? You eat my cat, I'll eat your dog. Hey, you mess with me, I'm coming back at you. Now, the people that are in the churches are set up in the churches, the synagogues, the mosques, and all that. They're pushing them towards reap what you sow culture. But the people that are running these institutions, right, they're functioning under the dog-eat-dog culture. And it's different. Now, when somebody tells me, right, that their God wants me to bring them X amount of dollars so that I can have salvation, I'm saying to myself, now that I know that I'm just as much a God, whoever, as whoever their leader is, their teacher is, right? Why am I bringing them my money for my salvation? You see what I'm saying? Now, if we're dealing with the story of Moses, right? We're dealing with the story, not the story, but the code of Moses, okay? The priesthood is supposed to be setting up a centralized banking system, all right? That's what they're supposed to be doing, setting up a centralized banking system so that there's nobody sleeping in the street. How am I preaching going to have a $5 million house, okay, jets, planes, boats, and all that stuff, and the people around the same block where his church is are sleeping on the street? See what I'm saying? The preachers combined in the United States have enough money so that no individual in America should be sleeping on the street or home. I'm just saying, the money's there. You know, I mean, Copeland is paid. Olson is paid. See what I'm saying? Clerical Dollar is paid. TJ Jakes is paid. They're taking the lesson, see what I'm saying, and individualizing lessons for themselves rather than doing what they're supposed to be doing. That's why I'm going to talk about reparations. About how are we going to have reparations when we're not following the code? If we were following the code, the black tribe, brown tribe, yellow and white, we should all have a centralized banking system for our crew, but we don't. You know what I'm saying? What do you think the idea of the centralized banking system came from? You know, these people coming off the doggone island didn't think of no centralized banking system, okay? The centralized banking system came out of the book. Once they understood the code, okay, Maurice taught Constantine the code. Constantine, he fell in love with Maurice after that book because Maurice was one of the strongest generals, too. He was a warrior. But once Maurice showed him the code, what was going on with the book, he said, oh, my God. You know what I mean? He took up the book. He joined the Gnostics called, yeah, sure, they were called Gnostics, which means Noah's a truth. They were not called Christian, okay? Christianity, as we know it today, comes through Constantine, all right? But you know, you had 25 popes in Africa before you had one pope in Rome. They're just not giving you the information. But the information, I don't know, they're changing the internet, so I can't say Google it no more because they're starting to shut the internet down where you're going to get. I type in one question, they give me something. They give me another answer, you know? So it's kind of hard to get the information. It's getting harder and harder to get the information off the internet, which means that you might have to go back through books. Now, what authors are you going to use? Are you going to use authors that's been trained and certified by the system? Or are you going to go to people outside of the system for information. How are you going to get the information? See what I'm saying? Well, I have a degree in Egyptology. Yeah, well, you've been trained by the people who've not given up the information about Kemet. Because there's so much information about Kemet that they're not letting go. You don't know the half of what's going on in Kemet. You follow what I'm saying? Or Egypt, as you're calling it. And the breaking down of Metanetra and all that kind of stuff, this is why the Bible was done for you, all right? This is why those books were set up. The books were set up to break the codes down so you'd be able to understand what's going on. Now, one of the topics for today is that if you understood the code, you'd never be broke. If we as black people, okay, I'm relating myself to black people, okay, because it's a political statement for the people who've been persecuted under the system. I call them all black people, no matter what color they are. When I use the term black, I'm talking about people who've been persecuted under the system. And that even goes down to the white people's wives who were running the system. They wouldn't let them vote. They didn't have no authority to do nothing. You understand what I'm saying? But a cook and clean the dogs on house. Anyhow, when I use the term black, that's what I'm referring to, okay? Because in order for it to be a nationality, it has to belong to a continent. It has to belong to a nation state. There's no nation state called black. So black is not a nationality, all right? Now, there were black people. Yeah, absolutely there were black people. I mean, you can't get around that. I'm talking about jet black people. They're here. India, everywhere, they're all over the world. Yeah, well, all the colors are all over the world. We're all mixed together. And it's because of this that the five tribes can come together. It's because of the United States. I'm going to be honest with you. It's because of the United States of America. And with President Hansen and them set up with founding fathers. I'm talking about President Hansen and his group. George Washington are not the founding fathers of the system. They didn't set this up. All right, they just came in and stole it, ran off with it, went 100% into occultism. They created the race of the black. Oh, man. They wanted to keep you as slaves and keep you as indentured servants. They're still trying to do it now. They're trying to take you back to that. And the children of these people are so asleep that they ain't figured it out. You got two types of white mindsets here. The mindset of the people who were let out of the jails in Britain and sent here to establish a foothold. They didn't know that's what they were doing. Establish a foothold when they got here. And the mindset of the people who came to build a military base based on the foothold that they had here. So they can begin stealing the people's land. Now, I don't use the word cock. To me, that's just another word for thief. Low down, dirty. That's what these conquerors are there. Cheat. Rolling the people's areas by taking them what they want, killing the people, murdering, robbing, stealing. They thieves, thugs. That's what they are. Okay. That's what I'm calling. Okay. okay. That's what I'm calling. Okay. That's what they did. All right. So with the two types of mindset, then you have the children. See, the children are the ones that were left out of jail and just sent here, they have a different mindset than the children of the slave master. I'm going to put it like that. They have a different mindset because their parents knew that when they got here, the indigenous people, the men, fed them, showed them how to grow food, everything. You know what I'm saying? And they were grateful. And they teach, some of them are teaching their children this information. That's the only way the children are going to get it because you're getting so small glimpse of what was really going on back then because they're changing things around, just like they did when they wanted to get rid of the Moors in Britain, okay? Oh, yeah, Britain, they burned books and everything, burned Islamic books and everything because one cult versus another cult. They used Christianity as a cult to overthrow the Islamic cult because they were trying to do it before, but they just couldn't do it. That cultism is pretty strong. You know what I mean? Because it's based on fear. No, you know that the end of your life, that the physical is not the end of your life. You know that. You follow what I'm saying? since you know that if that's not the end of your life, then what happens after you die? You understand what I'm saying? This is the mystery. Now, so we got the heaven and the hell, all right? But that's the mystery. And they give you one is bad and one is good. Now, if you be bad, you don't do like the God or the slave master that's in charge of you are saying, you're going to go to hell, okay? So, and then they're playing the colors, black and white. Black is good. Black is bad. White is good. These are the colors that they're playing. All this is the cultism, okay? You can have a cultism right in your house when you think that your family is better than other families. That's a cultism. That establishes racism. You understand what I'm saying? Because now your tribe is better than the other tribe, because that's what you're doing. When you have a family, you create a tribe. You know what I'm saying? That's all part of the occult mindset. This is what we're trying to bring you into an understanding. Racism is not just what they're telling you, okay? Racism goes a lot deeper than the white race over the black race. It's a lot deeper than that. It's very, very, racism is very complicated. That's why occultism has been so successful. Because the people don't really know, they don't really understand about how this racism, how the occultism works. And they need to learn, we need to learn how this thing works. You know, just to get back to where we were, Mars was a thriving planet at one time, all right? The five races were there, okay? Black, brown, red, red, white, we were all there. But we were so paranoid against each other that we were at peace with each other, right? Peace is an act of war, against war. And the only way you can stop from being in a war is that your attritional buildup of the military. There's a war of attrition. Your buildup of a military is greater, is just equal to than the next guy's military. If they're both equal, and they show that the damage will be too great for you to fight each other, then you have what we call peace, okay? That takes us into the arms buildup, all right? That's what's going on right now. You know, takes us into the arms buildup because it's a war of attrition, all right? Now, if you go back after the Second World War, after the First World War, they told Germany they couldn't have a certain amount of people in the military. They're trying to control the arms buildup, you know what I mean? But when Hitler came, though, he just bypassed all that and just went and built up his military. As soon as he got more than anybody else, what did he do? He started taking over the lesser countries, and that led to a global conflict, all right? That's what I'm saying, you know? It's a war of attrition. So when we were in Mars, each tribe was so afraid. Well, I'm not really afraid, because warriors don't really have that much fear, you know, because we're all sort of like warriors, but we also can count. One and one is two. Now, if you got 10 men in your army, I only got two, I ain't gonna mess with you. You see what I'm saying? But they might come and mess with me, so I gotta build mine up to 10, so that way they know he got 10, I got 10. Hey, you got nuclear weapons, I got nuclear weapons. If you do that, we're gonna wipe out everything. But that's what's going on right now. The five tribes are beginning to develop weapons to protect themselves against the other tribe. They're talking about white nationalism, black nationalism. We're going to have Spanish nationalism. We're not Spanish. Spanish is white. We're going to talk about the yellow tribe nationalism, brown tribe nationalism, red tribe nationalism. And everybody knows that they're going to have weapons to protect themselves from the other tribes coming to take their stuff. You know, and if you don't believe that when a tribe military is so much stronger than the other tribe that they're going to come and take your stuff, ask the indigenous people all over the planet, okay? How come they're not in control of where they live? You follow what I'm saying? Everybody's running. They got people running to America for asylum. They need asylum because the big powers, the main powers, are disrupting their way of life where they live. You know what I'm saying? Look at Yemen. Yemen is a Muslim country. Arab is a Muslim country. Why are they fighting each other? What the heck is going on there? See what I'm saying? Two different groups of Muslims. How they fight? You know, Sunnis and Shiites. And see that once the occult, if you don't know what occultism is, you'll constantly fall into the trap of occultism. All Muslims are supposed to be one. All Christians are supposed to be one. Christians are fighting each other. Muslims are fighting each other. Why? See what I'm saying? That's not what Jesus was about. That's not what Muhammad was about. Yet, they're out there fighting and killing each other like cats and dogs. It's because the occultism and the racism, this is how they come to power so quickly. Okay? That's what this is all about. And when the war started on Mars, they had so much power. The armament was so great. They blew the doggone planet up. They screwed up the whole planet. All right? That they had to leave. Lemurians came here. They were called Lemurians. They came here. All right? And they and they set some things up, you know, so that maybe this would happen on this planet. All right? But it happened again. Because when the Atlanteans set up, all right, they were kind of warlike, and the whole thing started to happen again. So Lemurians, they still had some ships and all that stuff out off planet, you know, and they knocked Atlantis off. That's what they did. They knocked Atlantis off. That's what they did. See what I'm saying? And we have to learn the lessons of the past, right? Well, great volcanoes and duh, you know what I mean? They knocked Atlantis off, and so the Atlanteans were destroyed. By Lemurian's crew that was still had ships up there. You know what I'm saying? They still got ships and stuff up there now. This planetary war, interplanetary war, it didn't just stop. Okay? This was supposed to be the place where all the five tribes work together and exist together. And right now, that's not what's happening, and we're on our way back to repeat history. Because they're not teaching you history. You don't know anything about the real history of who you are and what's going on out there, you know? No modern man is indigenous to this planet. We come from the constellation Elohim, what they call Orion, and what the Egyptians call Osiris. Okay? We call the constellation Elohim. That's where we come from, all right? Because we're all Elohim. We're all not Orion and we're all not Osiris. See, that's taking us into that cult mentality. You know what I mean? It's one individual who's so powerful, you know? You know what I'm saying? We're trying to get you away from the cult, man. The cult mentality. Elohim is plural. We're all Elohim, okay? And we have to figure out a way to work together so we're not at each other. So white power, white lives matter, black lives matter. You know, here we go again, you know? Now, if they keep treating one group so bad, then the group is going to defend itself. How long do you think it's going to be before they stop going to court on these police that are killing their children? Okay? The police bleed too. They start knocking these police off. They don't have to start fighting back. When police shoot one of their children, there ain't going to be no marching out there. They're going to be out that cop's door shooting his house up. You know what I mean? Because they can get the weapons. Weapons not hard to get. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to give you a warning before this stuff starts happening, because nobody's scared of nobody else out here. That's what they have to understand. And the only reason they're getting over is because the people that they stop submit. You follow what I'm saying? Now, if the people know that when you pull them over that you might kill them, they shoot you first. They'll fight back. Trust me. People ain't got no problem with fight. Okay? They fight all the time. Excuse me. We have to learn from the lessons of the past. All right? I just put that up. I don't know why I'm getting into all that today, but we have to learn from the lessons of the past. And we have to begin to trust each other as groups, black, brown, red, yellow, white. We have to begin to trust each other, and each group have to set themselves up, okay, so that we can work together. And Elohim five tribes, this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to unite the five tribes, okay, into a solid group, All right, now the crooks and the criminals can get together and sign a piece of paper and stop fighting one another. How come we can't do the same thing? But this is what has to happen. In order for it to happen, we have to stop this leadership nonsense. I'm saying it out loud, leadership nonsense. You don't need nobody to hold your hand and walk across the street on your own. You know what I mean? The only way you can't cross the street is somebody puts something in your way where you can't get across. Other than that, you know how to cross the street. And basically, that's what I'm saying. So we have to, black, brown, red, yellow, white, we have to come together, right, and work as a unit. Not individual tribes, to work as a unit, all right? So that all tribes are running equal, have reciprocity, have a say in the governing of this planet. I'm not talking about the governing of a particular continent. We're talking about the entire planet. If we don't change our ways soon, we're going to lose this planet, all right? Now, we have ships to take off. Some people want to go and head for it, Brahman, or wherever you want to go to. You know what I'm saying? There's planets out there that we can live on. But can keep this planet pristine. We have the technology. We have the wherewithal to not destroy the planet. And that's where we're headed. We're headed towards the destruction of the planet. And things have to change. We as five tribes, that we have to come together to make a difference, all right? Ain't no such thing as black power. Power is not synonymous to color, okay? Ain't no such thing as white power. Power is not synonymous to white. It don't work that way, all right? Each tribe on the planet are very powerful because of Psalm 82. Now that we know who we are, each tribe is very powerful. Incidentally, if you have a comment or something you want to say, you can press 1 and let me know you have a comment or something to say, and I'll open up your mic for you, okay? So this is what's going on right now, all right? I don't know why I went off into that today, but it's important. Now, we do have a society, okay? Elohim Five Tribes, a society of love. This is a society without leadership. That's what we're building. We're building a society where there's no person in charge. Okay, we have a spiritual entity that's going to be in charge. And this spiritual entity is called Christ. All right? So we're calling Jesus the Christ as our leader and teacher. All right? This takes us away from the occult practices that we've been so used to. And any leader going to get up there and tell you, we need leadership, you know, follow God. God is going to be the one that, look, Psalm 82 breaks that. That's why we have to deal with the book, the Bible, as a code book, all right, so that we can get out of the cultism, okay? the Bible says that we're all God. So when they say, well, God said you can't go against God, who are they talking about? They're talking about themselves. They're in charge of the money. Follow the money, and you'll see where God's running everything. You know what I'm saying? Just follow the money. I'm just trying to wake everybody up because we have been in REM sleep for so long, and it just don't make, well, it's making sense because once you get caught up in the cult thing, you'd be spitting things out your mouth. Sound like the guy next to you. Everybody's sounding the same. They're looking the same and all that. nobody's thinking for themselves. And that's a problem. Each individual has to think for themselves. And like in our ritual in the morning, as I walk the path of good, it's good. I would keep my mouth open and read what you saw. By doing this, I'm walking the path of light and I would get what I want. What do you want? You know what I'm saying? Because what you want for yourself, you're dealing with the family, your children, generations to come. We don't want to lose this planet. And that's where we're headed right now, okay? So the main topic for the day was about the money. But you don't have to be broke. If you're following the code, the Bible is a code book, all right? that takes us into the story of Joseph. Now, we all already explained about the occult part of the story and what you're supposed to actually get from the story if your brain is working properly. See what I'm saying? Our brains aren't working properly. Joseph became the vicegerent of Kemet. The vicegerent handles the money. The queen in Britain, her vicegerent is one of the Rothschilds. Go study the history of the Rothschilds and how their father, it's kind of an amazing story, how their father used to save money on the full boards and everything else. When he got enough money, he told his children to go set up banks. His children set up banks. The Rothschilds have been the money controllers for a long time now, you know, so much so. They got so good at it that the queen lifted them to be her vicegerent. You know, and the queen is following what's going on in Kemet. You think that they're not following the history of the book. They got another thing coming. They know exactly what's going on. They know what they're doing because they have decoded the book. And the book as a code book has been passed down to their children from generation to generation. Now we're bringing the code book to you live on the air. Now, if any episodes that you miss, you can always go to Block Talk Radio, Elohim Speaks. Because all the shows are being recorded. And this is a global show. People are listening to the show from different countries all over the planet. So it's not just that when you call in, I would be on the air if nobody called that because they're listening to me all over the place out here. You follow what I'm saying? And this information has to get out. Right now, I'm still in Genesis. I'm trying to move to Leviticus. Boy, once we get into Leviticus, you can see the code, how the preacher was getting paid and how when they make a sin, all they had to do was buy their way out of it. The only punishment that they had is they had to pay money. You know what I mean? Well, money back then was a cow or bull or something like that. But we'll get into that. We'll get more into that as we go into Leviticus. But each story, dealing with the code. Now, in order to break the Bible down, the first thing you have to do is recognize Psalm 82. Once you accept Psalm 82, the whole book begins to open up to you because everywhere they mention God, they're talking about God as a reference to Psalm 82, men and women, okay? That's what they're dealing with, all right? Now, I don't want to get too far into all this here because I'm trying to get out of Genesis, but I need questions. You have to hit one. Ask me questions. Let me know that you're thinking, if you're going back in, that you're using this code to read the book. Because once you start dealing with the book as a code, you're going to see this whole book a little differently. And all those people that are throwing the book away, pulling the book in, they're talking about his trash and all that stuff, once they, excuse me, my throat is so hoarse. I'm trying to make these shows. I want to be on there every day, but I have to apologize. Can't do it now because I'm doing an album too. So I'm doing a lot of singing and writing music and all that. So it's kind of, I kind of overworked my vocal cords. I think I messed them up a little bit. So I'm trying to relax them, but, you know, talk show hosts, we like to talk, right? So what can I tell you? I keep running my face. But, the first code, okay, the decipher in the Bible is Psalm 82. Start right there. Everywhere they're talking about God, right? You know, there's some man and woman that they're talking about. Jehovah was a man. Yahweh was a man. Jesus was a man. All these people were men and women, okay? Now, what I like about Jesus is that he knew who you were, and he didn't try to hide. He said, he that eateth of me will become a son indeed, and greater works than I believe you will do. How are you going to do greater works than Jesus if you're not what he, is? If I know what I'm saying? A lion is not going to be able to lift up as much weight as an elephant. Okay? So an elephant recognizes another elephant, know what the elephant can do. All right, just like Jesus knew who he was, and he recognized who you are. See what I'm saying? He knew the code. There's a lot to what Jesus was saying, but we'll get into some of that a little later on. Hey, Jesus was a bad boy. What can I tell you? You know what I mean? In fact, he was so far out there that his disciple couldn't really explain what he was saying. So when I tell people to go read what Jesus was saying, I tell them, don't read what's in black, because that will take you into a lesser consciousness of what Jesus was saying, because Jesus was out there. I mean, he was out there. You follow what I'm saying? So now, 2,000 years later, you can read his stories without Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John's opinion about what Jesus said, and just read what was written in red. You'd be surprised at how much information, how much conscious growth that you will have just by doing that, okay? Well, we're supposed to be talking about money, but Joseph, Vice Gerald Kemet, right? He told Pharaoh, save half your crop, spend half your crop for 7 years, all right? That's what saved Kemet. Other than that, Kemet would have perished like everybody else when the drought hit. Do you know where I'm coming from? Now, the question to you is, wouldn't it be nice if you had half of all the money that you made over your lifetime, but you didn't know you were supposed to save half? You follow what I'm saying? But the kids are picking it up, okay? Polite's on it, you know? He's doing very well with a little bit of thin budget. You can hear it begin to circulate amongst children. The children are picking up on it, and they're using it, okay? The 50% budget is very powerful, because if you can't save half your money, you're living beyond your means. Trying to keep up with Harry next door or Mary down the street, that's not going to work. If you deal with the 50% budget like you're supposed to, you're going to surpass Harry and Mary, all right? But if you're trying to keep up with them, living beyond your means, you know, you're going to always be one paycheck away from living in the street. And that's what's going on out there. Most of us are one or two paychecks from living in the city. They cut the money off right now, and you're not making, have no money coming in. How long could you survive? You know what I'm saying? They got to shop in week to week. We should be shopping month to month. You should go shopping one time for the whole month. That way, if something goes wrong, you got at least a whole month worth of food in the house to eat. That's what I'm saying. Then you can cut back on the meals, make that food last more than a month. But our thought process has been altered by the cult masters. That's what I'm calling them, cult masters, because they're not really teaching religion. Religion is realigning yourself with source energy. Once you do that, you become what you're realigning yourself with. What is source energy? That's what you're made up out of. Everything in the universe is what they're calling Allah, or it's supposed to be the all, but they're using the term Allah. Everything in the universe at the same time, which includes you. You are made up out of this energy. That's why they tell you energy cannot be created or destroyed. See what I'm saying? You can't be destroyed, nor can you be created. You were made. You were made out of source substance coming from your mother and your father. That's how you were made. And everything prior to that was made the same way. You see what I'm saying? There was no creation. So you're made up out of source substance, not created, because if you were created, you would be coming from nothing. You can't make something from nothing. You have to have something to make something. Okay? Get on a 50% budget. You'll have money to make money. Stop thinking in terms of job. I need a job so bad. Yes, you need a job. If you don't have any money, go get the job. But think in terms of making the money so that the money can make money for you. Put the money to work. There should come a time in your life that you don't have to physically put your slave to work. But let me say that again. I don't think you heard that. You don't have to physically put your slave to work. Your body is your slave. You are a slave master. Everybody's fighting for control over your slave. That's what the occult teachings are. They want control over your slave. They want you to do what they tell you, when they tell you. And if you don't do what they tell you, when they tell you, they'll punish you. Because they're in control over your slave. That's where the money's coming from. The slave are producers. The incorporeal energy that's inside of you works through the slave. You see what I'm saying? So that real you, it's hard, that real you can't function on this plane without a physical body. You see what I'm saying? Incorporeal energy don't work that way. Either they work through a physical body or the thought process that they use to manipulate physical things. You know what I'm saying? We're so far away from that, it's unbelievable. But, they're making movies about it, what used to be, what could be, what might be, But the whole thing is, you're supposed to be on a 50% budget. Land acquisition is key. You need to get out of this apartment mentality and start buying your own property. Because you got an apartment out there. Let's say you got an apartment. Now, some of us, we're going to be setting up apartment buildings for people, for our crew, for our people in the society. We'll be setting up apartment buildings, but they're going to have apartments only for a certain amount of time. Then we're going to actually sell them property so they can be property owners. Because the system opens up to you when you own your own property. I mean, that's collateral. You know what I mean? You got property free and clear that you done paid for, and you want to go to the bank to borrow money, you got collateral. You know what I mean? But if you got an apartment, the apartment, you can't use your apartment as collateral. The only thing you can use an apartment for is a history of how you pay money. You know what I mean? Credit score. All right? Let's look at it this way. There's a property up for sale. The property costs $50,000. All right, you don't have no money using your credit. You want to borrow money. I got $50,000. Who you think going to get the property? I don't have to go to nobody. I take $50,000 and buy the property. And when I get ready to get rid of it, I'll sell it for $80,000. I make $30,000 off the property. You understand what I'm saying? Cash is king. And you need your credit if you're going to do things with the aid of other people, aid of the banks, outside sources. Sure, you need credit. The people want to get their money back. They want to make money off of you. That's what credit is all for. That's why they got that credit thing set up, so that they can get paid off of you. Do you know what I'm talking about? This information needs to pass to the children, period. That when they get out of school, they need to put themselves on a 50% budget. Now, I'm using $10,000 a year. This is based on people whose parents haven't been to college or working in a middle class situation. Okay? They don't have much money. So when the child can work two jobs, all right, all they have to do is make sure that 2 days off on each job are different. 2 days off during the week, 2 days off on the week. All right, this way they're working 7 days a week, but they only have to work double shifts 3 days a week. They work double shifts 3 days a week, and the rest of the time they're just working one shift. You know what I'm saying? But they don't get no days off. They do this till they get $20,000. Go on Sheriffville, bid on some property. You got property you get for $5,000-$10,000. That's all I'm saying. You go ahead and you bid on the property. You get the property. You live on the first floor. Rent the other two out. You got residual income. This is what your children need to do. Instead of going to get me an apartment because you're kicking them out of the house. I'd be glad when you get out of here. You get old enough, you got to get your own place. No, don't rush them. Let them stay home as long as they can. Now, they can't be home all day long playing video games, unless they're going to use that as a career or something to make money. A lot of money in them video games now, you know what I mean? But make sure that this information gets to the children. Make sure that the children know about the 50% budget. If you don't do anything else for your children, give them this information. Make sure that they know. If they can't save half their money, they're living beyond your means. And if you can't save half your money, okay, you're living beyond your means. Now you have to start cutting back. How do you cut back? The best way to cut back with the food. See what I'm saying? you can't eat out. If you can't save half your money, you can't eat even at McDonald's. That's too expensive. It costs $10 to eat a meal at McDonald's. All right, you do that twice a day, that's $20 a day. That's $600 a month. You can take that same $600, stock your refrigerator for three people for the whole month, not just one person. And if you got two people eating twice a day at McDonald's, that's $40 a day, right? See what I'm saying? That's $40 a day, right? That's $1,200 a month. Can you imagine how much food you can buy with $1,200? If you go and buy $1,200 worth of food, sure, you have to buy a couple extra freezers or whatever you got to buy, but that's what you need to do. Freezers only $200. You know, get a couple freezers on sale. Get yourself set up so that you can shop once a month. All right, I eat all vegetables, but most of my vegetables come in frozen. I very seldom get fresh vegetables now because fresh vegetables don't last, and I can't shop every day. I shop once a month. And when you shop once a month, you can do it with fresh vegetables, but then you got to cook, break the vegetables down, and blanch them off and get them into the freezer so they can be good for the whole month, because you can't just put fresh vegetables in the refrigerator. They're not going to last a whole month. You got to be very creative if you're using a fresh vegetable. I just buy the vegetable frozen. It's the next best thing to fresh, although it's not as good as fresh. Fresh vegetables are better, hands down, okay? But get used to shopping once a month, all right? Whatever you have to buy. And if you're living in an apartment right now, okay, when you leave that apartment, you get none of that money back. None of it. It's just gone. I got people right across the street from me paying $1,400, $1,500 a month for an apartment. You know what I'm saying? In a year's time, that's a lot of money. They spend a lot of money giving to somebody. The apartments are nice. They lay it out. Look really good. You know, you invite friends over, I'll sit back, watch the game and chill. You know what I mean? But if he had his own place, when he leaves his own house, if he decides to sell a place, all the money that he put out, he will get back. In your apartment, all the money you put out, you ain't, none of that's coming back to you. It's just gone. That's all I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about. We have to think in terms of survival. We have to survive what's going on out there. Now, you people that have been to college, all right, making that little $40,000 a year or $50,000 a year and more in these corporations, all right, don't live like you're making $40,000 a year. Live like you're making $20,000 a year, okay? Save the other half. Okay, in 2 years, you got $40,000. That's enough to start buying property and flipping property and all that kind of stuff. It's enough to get some things done. You can enter into, with that kind of money, you can enter into the gold market. You can start buying precious metals. You can have your money work for you through precious metals and stuff. What are they doing is bitcoins and unibouts and all that. Oh, my goodness, the computer just said I got 90 seconds. I've been talking my way through everything. I want to thank everybody that's on the line. I really appreciate you calling in and letting me know that I'm not here by myself blowing wind. And I'm getting good reports from other countries and stuff. So just remember, love is acting, make others feel good. And I like to do my last insertion while we're still streaming, although we have a couple of minutes after this. I have walked the path as divine energy today and did not break the universal law or reap what you sow. All energy went out for a divine purpose, and I will reap what I have sown this day. All that I have put out, I eagerly embrace its return. So let it be written, so let it be done. Okay, that gives about 30 seconds left. But just remember, I want to be on the air every day, but I can't because my throat is screwed up. So I will be on the air tomorrow, same time from 8 to 9. We'll be talking about society and society news and business. We'll get into the coronavirus a little bit and talk about some other things about what's going on around the planet, okay? So if you, you have the time tomorrow between 8 and 9, tune in. And with that, remember, love is and always will be the answer. Love is the act to make others feel good. Much love. We'll chit-chat some more tomorrow. Thank you.